So yeah, I say watched. Talking on the subject of big results, what's the biggest loss in rugby?
In rugby, well, we remember the World Cup, don't we? When the All Blacks beat Japan
147
is a big, big number. So if I had to take a guess, I would say 150, 160, because that was try after try watching that match. Go for it.
300.
Stop it.
356-3.
How is that impossible?
Well, how is it possible, you mean?
How is it possible? It is impossible.
So, Raul Couturo.
From Japan?
No, sounds Japan, doesn't it? No. Belgium, in the Belgium top league.
Nearby.
They were playing Sonyes, I think that's how you say it. Sonyes. And, 56 tries, 38 conversions. But basically, the ref didn't turn up. So, big bulk of the Sonyes squad were like, well, sack this. So off they went. And, they left. And then the ref did turn up late. But Sonyes only had 16 players. But they still had enough players, you know, front row requirements, all that stuff, to fulfil the fixture. So they're like, we'll give it a lash. I actually found a video and, mate, like literally kicking off, jogging it in. That's basically what was happening. And there's actually one of a guy chasing a kick and the bloke's obviously just like not taking it seriously. He's actually got a hoodie on, like under his shirt and stuff. But imagine.
356. I would think that's near impossible, Scott. Yeah. Are you sure the referee just didn't write some random score or they couldn't read the score
apparently,
on the document?
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
But that's not even the best bit.
Go for it.
Obviously, that would affect the old league standings quite considerably, you would think. Not the case. Despite this hammering, Sonyes still above Couturo in the league. Oh, mate. Brilliant.
Wowee.
But, I remember saying to you remember how we were always saying, we're talking about the basketball and the results were always like, it's almost like it's, but it's that sort of back and forth game, isn't it, where, you know, you score, they score.
I've never seen a game of basketball where there has been a hiding. It's always been close.
What's the biggest one? Biggest one in basketball?
Well, I would go to say 30, 40 points must be a bit of a tonking in basketball.
So the biggest one is in 91 and was with the Cleveland Cavaliers and it was 68 points. They lost by 68 points.
Wow.
That's big in the pro game, isn't it?
That has to be big. 91. Were you around, Scott? I remember. There was 91.
Yeah, I was around. I was kicking.
You were kicking. There was Spud Webb. He was one of my Spud Webb and Dominic Wilkins was another one. They played for Atlanta Hawks. That must have been around in that era. I'm actually going to do some research on that.
That's probably when they had like the old school Nike Air Force Ones running around in those bad boys.
Yeah, socks pulled up, short shorts.
Oh, that's proper basketball.
Yeah, that is proper basketball.
As I said before, been working down with Marcus Neal down in Walford Orange. And then there's two girls down there, Sam Logic and Amanda Cahill. They're the two Americans who are over, the two pros, if you like, who are playing for Residents, who are Walford Orange. They had a decent start. They had what we'd call a pre-season hit out.
Right.
And they won that by they won 88-70. And then they had a bit of a blip this weekend and lost by 3 points to Muzel Pikes, which again,
another
close game, yeah. good stuff.
Muzel Pikes, so where do they play?
Well, these all play in the top division in Luxembourg.
Muzel Pikes.
Speaking to Amanda, she basically finished college and, obviously wanted to travel a bit and the way the league works is they get a bit of free time off so you can travel around. Obviously, COVID's put a bit of...
How long have they been in Luxembourg? A couple of years?
Yeah, I think Sam's in her second season and Amanda was saying she's been here for 2.5 years now.
And they stay here in the off-season?
Well, I don't think so. I think they go back in the off-season, go home, back to America. America!
It's a good place to, obviously not during COVID, but it's a good place to come.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually reading there that, so I went on the website, FLB website. Mate, it's good.
Yeah.
Good. Like, you go on, you get all the stats of all the players, you know, they've got their results up there. But there was a thing saying that two of the clubs, so Telstar and Sparta, who I believe are from Hesperange and Bertrange, they're actually not going to have professionals on the books for the rest of the season.
It's not really surprising. It's sad, but it's not really surprising given the circumstances we're in.
Bold tactic. I hope it pays off for them, man. But I remember you saying last week about how, like, the inter-commune sport, I think that's very much the case with basketball. You know, you have these communes like Steindl, Wolfrange, Hesperange, Bertrange, Sandweiler-Contern.
So basketball is a big sport.
Yeah.
In Luxembourg.
Yeah.
As you say that, I went onto the handball on their Facebook page on the weekend.
Yeah.
And very, very professional, very clean. They obviously they input the results. They have the way that's done. They logo. I compare it to squash from what I know. We are a small sport. Yeah. Don't quite have the let's say the number of volunteers or number of people putting interest into
the sphere of influence.
Oh, nice word, Scott.
Good. I've got a list of big words to use. A couple of syllables.
You've used that one. Now. What are you going to do next week?
Oh, I'm screwed, mate. Screwed.
And I was impressed. And so a positive of that is at the end of this showing, we can go through the results, and as they play their league, we can give you up to speed, and as well for ourselves, we can learn a little bit more about what happens, and hopefully if we do a hashtag on them,
that'd be quite good.
We can maybe get someone in here and explain a little bit more. But I was very impressed with just the way that the layout and the results, and it looked kind of simple if someone wanted to get into the game.
So just to jump in there with a quick intro, Scott Brown here.
And Nathan Snade.
And we're just following up we're obviously out here trying to grow the awareness around sport in Luxembourg. Try and get different sports clubs involved, different sports involved. And hopefully just spread the word, because being active is a good thing, Nathan.
Being active is a good thing. And there is a lot of sport being played in Luxembourg, but we don't see a lot of it. I don't think there's enough. I don't believe that there's enough sport awareness.
Yeah, no, I think that'd be fair.
In Luxembourg, and we want to try and do our part in promoting it that little bit more, and give our listeners a heads up of where to go if they want to get involved in a particular sport or in sport in general.
I think the one thing we can vouch for this is, I've obviously come from the UK. You're obviously from New Zealand, and the last thing you want to do is try and compare it and be like, oh, you know, well, we do this in New Zealand or we do this in the UK. And, you know, if we were to do that, then we'd just be completely negative towards everything.
Very much so.
So you have to...
Dynamics work differently in different places.
Different way of doing things out here, different way of life, different mentality out here as well. Not good or bad, it's just different.
Well, it's very unique, and I think it's a positive situation where we're a small country with many nationalities living here. So if we bind all those resources together, one would think we become stronger.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, as we've said, we're trying to, you know, we just want to get more people involved in sport, because sport's a good thing. But one thing I do want to do is give, obviously, a shout out to all those, you know, those sports coaches, be it the local football club, the kids' coaches, whatever age it is. You know, we've obviously been all, myself and Nathan are involved in the squash and rugby, but all these other sports who have been hit by, you know, these restrictions, whether or not you agree with them, they're obviously in place, and we have to
improvise around them.
Exactly, and that's what a lot of people are doing. I know, chatting to a few people about, like, the football clubs. You know, football will always be the biggest sport. You know, you're never going to compete with that sort of thing. But
by all accounts, they have such big numbers. A lot of these big clubs is they've had to like limit to it to sort of one training a week, and then you rotate just to make sure. So almost everyone's getting a little bit of sport time as opposed to just a few people getting a lot of sport. I mean,
I came across a sad situation yesterday in Moot Fort, where there were half a dozen lads kicking a ball about in the park. These guys were, I would say, anywhere between 18 and 22 years old. I really felt sorry for these lads. They were doing no harm, just doing what we would normally do on a Sunday. And naturally, the police came by and were doing their and doing their job, and had to tell them to pack it in.
Yeah.
Obviously, and they weren't happy about it, but they obliged, and they left with a bit of a sad face. And what can these guys do? They can go out for a walk and they go out for a run, but you can't. I mean, we like ball sports, don't we? We like all sports, but sports with a ball is pretty common. I felt sorry for these lads. What are they going to do now? Go home and go on PlayStation?
Yeah.
I'm not really a big fan of that, to be fair with you.
I mean, I'll sit. That's half my trouble. I wouldn't buy anything because I know I'll just sit there and play on the thing till the cows come home. But that's a funny one. In this sort of generation, it's almost they don't know how to be bored, and it's even more compounded by this whole COVID thing. Where I'm bored. What are we doing? Let's go outside and
be get creative
and do something.
Boredom. I think boredom.
We can't
really,
you know.
Become creative. When you were a kid, Scott, what did you do after your? I mean, I guess you played rugby most weekends, but what did you do when you got home? I mean,
well, I didn't.
Your dad was chasing around with a stick to cut the grass, was he?
Yeah. So actually, funny one with my brothers. We would go out and play cricket quite a lot because we had a nice drive, and I used to always be paired up with Kyle. My youngest
is that with a tennis ball, taped up tennis ball, or
no? We just whatever ball we could get our hands on. Every now and again, I'll say this bit, and then I'll say how it progressed. So it would just be just a tennis ball. One person would be batting, bowling, wicketkeeper, and then somebody fielding. And my other brother Craig, he lives out in Chinese, happily married. He very knowledgeable. He collects all the wisdoms. You know what they put all the results and every year, like he's got like a massive collection of them since. I'm not sure how far it goes back to. I'd like to say since the year he was born, so that's like 91.
Quality.
That's his thing. Loser. Nah, it's all good. Like, but he used to be a big cricket fan. He still is, but doesn't really play it anymore. But basically, his goal when he was bowling, if he was bowling to my other brother Gareth, so he's a journalist. If you want to see some funny stuff, go and check out his Instagram page. I think I've shown you some of the.
Yeah, Gareth's the brother that went out to Georgetown. Yeah. Was he? Did he go
no,
to
no, Georgia? That's Craig. Gareth was at Exeter and then he's gone out. He's been out in Syria and Iraq and Mosul and all that sort of thing. I'll send you some links to some stuff here. You can have a goosey gander. Anyway, Craig would bowl, and Craig wasn't trying to get him out. Okay, all Craig wanted to do was hit him on the leg, obviously for LBW, and mate, then
we love it.
Then,
brotherly
then if he got hit on the leg, it'd be like, yeah, got him, and go mental. And let's just say Gareth had a bit of a short fuse. Mm-hmm. But mate, there were times we'd all get the whites and pads on and go and play up in the garden. And you know, you get out and you're caught, and the bat would so many bats to smash around the greenhouse and stuff like that. Oh, it was hilarious. Did I ever get to play with all of them in a game?
An official school game?
Yeah, I think three of us played with the old man once. But I'm pretty sure all played with the old man.
Cricket or
cricket? Yeah.
Cricket.
Yeah. There's one, my old man loves telling this story. We used to play down at this, it's like village team, proper village. It's like a field, cut short, AstroTurf, mat in the middle, clubhouse at one end, brook goes down here. The old man, much like myself, only has one shot. Hit one into the brook, and then that's what the kids used to do. They have to go, you know, try and fish it out or whatever. Yeah. So anyway, Craig was in there fishing the ball out, and then another ball came over the net.
But
yeah, they were great days growing up with brothers playing backyard cricket, backyard softball. We played backyard tennis. It was nothing we
anything did. Anything, mate.
We played backyard. We used to play backyard rugby and we'd get the hose out on the lovely lawn and hose it down so that we could slide and tries. But
we used to do that as well. We used to meet up at the park, you know, 10, 12 of us, and just go full noise at each other. You know, just running around, smashing into each other. Obviously, I wasn't doing much tackling back then either, but, you know, just something to do.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
We were bored and we were creative.
Yeah.
I still think I still see some of the kids around in Luxembourg being creative. The Koch brothers, they're quite creative. I've seen some things that they played in their backyard.
Their cricket, they love their cricket. Shout out to Will and Marcus,
yeah.
Cricket mad boys. Cricket. But yeah, did you say you had a look at the handball?
I did have a look at the handball. Impressive Facebook page, impressive results.
Are they getting? Have they got a decent following then?
Well, I haven't looked how many friends. I mean, I don't really look at how many friends. I just look at the way that the page is written, it's displayed, it's very, very clear. I can give you some results if you like.
Yeah, go on, hit me up.
I'm going to struggle to say some of these names because it's written in Luxembourg.
Oh, give it in. Let me do the, I'll do the...
That's right, the English...
Yeah, you know.
Your accent will be a lot stronger than mine.
Let me just do a practice one here. What is it? How do you... I can't even remember half the name.
That's so funny, some of those English names.
No, it's not the English ones, it's the Scottish ones, like the Scottish Premier League ones, like... Inverness, Caledonian Thistle 3, Stirling County 2.
Well, I'm going to pass you over like these results here. Can you do it? It's very, very, very clear, very easy to read. Apart from some of the names, we know, for example, there's Schifflin here. We call it Schifflange. But I'll let you read out the handball results here. Go on, give it a go, Scott.
All right, okay, here we go. So, Red Boys 23. Handball Esch 30. HBC Schefflang 20. HB Kirschen 35. Is that Dekirsch, that one?
No, I don't think.
Dekirsch.
Dekirsch, yes, it will be.
Dekirsch 30. Mersch 27. Another close one there.
Another close one,
don't we? Oh, looks like Petain 19. Delange 44. That's a hide in there, pal.
So that was who? Petange gave who a hiding?
No, Delange.
Delange,
okay. Gave Petange
a hiding.
Standard 20, Beersham 22. If Stefan Schaap's listening, you can give me a shout out on the Luxembourg pronunciations. And if you help me out, I will take you out for a Metabea Vanschrift.
We can certainly work on the pronunciation.
How is your Luxembourgish?
It's better after this weekend. I went and watched a Luxembourgish movie on Saturday.
Really?
Yes. Very good film. Very good film. It was an animation.
Yeah.
I took my two little ones to watch it.
Well, they speak it, don't
Ernest,
they?
Yeah, they speak it. But even to learn Luxembourg, to understand Luxembourgish, very good. Highly recommended. Called Ernest and Celestine. Very well written, very well scripted.
Is it a Luxembourgish film or is it
a Luxembourgish animation? Very wonderful, good, beautiful storyline. I won't go into it because I recommend anyone starting to learn Luxembourgish or has got a few words that they can a little bit more than Moyen, of course.
Yeah.
But really recommend that movie. But I could. There's some towns that I cannot pronounce when it's written in Luxembourgish, but I can see that Doudelange gave Petange an absolute whopping 19 at home as well, 19 points to 44. That's a hiding.
So is the handball, is that very much commune based again? Or?
Well, what we just said there with the scores, very much like the basketball,
yeah.
I believe. It'd be great to go watch one of these games when we're open. It would be great to learn about one of these clubs or all of the clubs, how they operate, what programs they do, how do they get new members into the game or new players into the game.
Yeah.
I've been out to Petonge and seen some of them train because there's some squash courts in the Gamang Omni Hall Sports there.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that I've seen the team train, but I've seen others hacking about or throwing about. And yeah, it looks. I'm quite interested to learn a little bit more about it. Maybe we can do a shout out. Maybe we can get someone on in the next month or so.
Yeah, give us a shout. You know, and see where we're up to, mate. Just to bounce back. Obviously, we did our first pod last week, and my younger brother actually said he's a bit of a keyboard warrior. It's Kyle.
Oh, these ones.
Basically said
this is the one that went out to Georgetown.
No,
this is the other one.
He's at uni at the moment. Yeah. Kyle's at uni at the moment, and he was basically saying that you said that. James Lowe and Gibson Park played well.
They played well. They did play well.
Yeah, he didn't think they did.
He said, she said, really.
Yeah, tomato, tomato, isn't it? So
I'd like to know why. Yeah, Carl.
Keyboard warrior. Say it to me face, huh? Say it to me face. Just bouncing back to rugby. DC hung up the boots. Daniel Carter.
I actually thought he hung them up a while back.
Yeah.
I mean.
Just on a big fat cash, a big fat check out.
But what a legend, though.
Oh, mate.
What a legend.
What a player.
For me, I really admire athletes that when they get injured or they get knocked back like he did and they bounce back. He bounced back many times. He had a lot of injuries. He wasn't the biggest guy. He's big now, though. Spends more time in the gym.
Don't we all, huh? Don't we all, mate, you know?
He bounced back after injury.
It's funny because he, obviously growing up, Johnny Wilkinson, the legend, he, you know, what he did in the World Cup in 2003, and then 2 years later, the Lions went down to New Zealand, got humiliated down there. But mate,
that was when New Zealand were on a backlash because England had won the World
Cup. Yeah, that's when Henry and Hansen all linked up, and who was the other? Wayne Smith as well. He'd left Northampton, and they basically they revamped the whole
ethos of it all, didn't they? Good.
Yeah, there's one try he scores where he gets put away, grubbers it into the in goal, and it's just like. Scores it in the corner, unreal.
Have you seen the curling the kick that where he
banana kick?
Yeah. That's for me. That's the biggest highlight for me.
Well, here, Crusaders match. I'll tell you something that I found out. I was reading about him. Left-footed kicker.
Yeah.
In his last match for New Zealand, obviously it was the World Cup final against Australia. Yep. Bowden Barrett scores, kills off the game. Yes, took conversion with his right foot.
He did. Quality finish, isn't it?
Yeah, nobody knows that.
One of those things.
Yeah, so
fair play, absolutely legend of the game. I think an admirable personality as well. Very humble.
You know, exactly. Normal guy, just a normal bloke.
I've always been quite curious about the relationship between Richie McCaw and Dan Carter, obviously two different positions, both humble people from the same area. I wonder how close they really were.
Yeah. I know. I was listening to Jerome Kano. He was on a podcast there in the week, and he was saying that McCaw's, when he was now he stopped playing, he's big into like all that ultra marathon and those.
He did. He just finished the coast to coast 2 weeks or like 2 weeks ago.
Lunatic, mate. Lunatic.
He's a hell of a guy. He's a one hell of a guy.
Yeah, great ambassador. Yeah, absolutely. But
I watched a bit of the America's Cup. It's the Prada Cup on the weekend.
Oh, the sailing we talked about. Prada.
So yes,
Prada's the clothing, the designer brand, is it?
You don't have any Prada clothing,
mate. Look, if someone could see what I'm wearing now.
You're in flip-flops and it's only...
Smart casual.
So I watched a little bit of the Prada Cup it was. So there's Team Ineos, a UK team, with Ben Ainslie, who's at the helm. And there's Luna Rossa, an Italian team.
Yeah.
And they are racing each other. And the winner of that race or the winner of that series, let's say race New Zealand in the, yeah. in the America's Cup.
So do you get to challenge New Zealand, or but New Zealand set the terms of the race?
Yeah, well, New Zealand won the America's Cup 4 years ago, I think it was.
Oh, so every 4 years?
It's yeah, I think so.
Oh, well, okay.
But I mean, I'm out there to be corrected, but they won out in Bermuda, it was, and they set the terms. They said, obviously, we're going to race in New Zealand, and we're going to race on these type of boats.
Yeah.
And then other syndicates form and race against each other
yeah.
in a bid to take on New Zealand in this case. So there was three teams. There was American Magic. That was Dean Barker was at the helm. And Ben Ainslie is let's say, Team UK on Ineos, I think is the name. And Luna Rossa. A Italian team.
Sounds like a Tour de France team.
Yeah, it is a little bit. Luna Rossa was mainly Italians on board, but they have a guy, a hell of a competitor, a hell of a warrior, Jimmy Spittle.
He sounds Italian.
He sounds Italian. He's the only non-Italian in there, I think. Anyway, it's best of 15, so the first to win 7 races. And it's in Luna Rossa's favour at the moment. I believe if it's a certain speed of wind, then Ben Ainslie believes he can, his skill will do enough to win it. But quite very 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 exciting. The way it's produced, the way it's managed the America's or the Prada Cup's interesting.
Yeah.
I think they have 2 more wins, and then it will be Luna Rossa.
Very good.
Stranger things have happened in sport. They can always get a comeback.
Yeah.
I think Ben Ainslie is, you know, this is no Olympics. This is really the Formula One comparison on water. So Ben Ainslie is learning a lot, I think, in this.
What do you call it? What do you call the little, not the little dinghies, one? What are they called? Not the big ones, the little one-man one. That's what they call it.
AC something, are they AC?
Laser or something
Laser, that's it. They're on the Olympics, aren't they?
Yeah.
Laser things that go. And I also had a look. There is a sailing club in Luxembourg.
Yeah.
In Lefranche.
Where's that?
Lefranche. On the ashes, on the little lake up in the north.
Oh, okay.
They have a sailing club up there. I have seen a couple of boats on the lake up there. But of course, I'm not involved, so I don't know. Maybe a little bit more research, see what they do.
Yeah. But what about what is the most mental thing you've seen in sport then?
Mental thing? Well, if you look on social media, you see some crazy, crazy things that's happened.
I would say mental, craziest thing that's like, that's quality. That's ingrained in my. I'm not going to forget that.
Well, in terms of rugby, there's a lot of things that you've seen. Some really slick moves, some slick hands. Yeah. Obviously, for me personally, it's when New Zealand won and beat South Africa in South Africa in 19, when Sean Fitzpatrick went over.
Yeah,
with the try. That was a big thing, but magical things. And you see these sports on what they do on some of these bikes, some of the motor, so this MX motocross stuff, these stunts that they do,
backflips and stuff like that.
Have you seen those big mountain bikes and they go down those little alleyways in Brazil?
Oh, mate, yeah.
Whoa! But for me, that is.
Yeah, they ain't going slow.
No.
There must be some sort. But actually, funny. There's like. Red Bull do like a soapbox derby. Soapbox, you know, where you build the go-kart and you go down the track.
Yes.
But you can only do it in certain countries, I think, because of the...
health and safety.
The legislation. So let's just say the health and safety is maybe a bit lax in that part of the world, so that's why they get away with it.
Yeah.
But...
I've seen...
That's what we should do. We should organise a soapbox derby. Soapbox. A go-kart.
Down where to find the light.
Where's the biggest hill?
Well, it'll be down by the Moselle, won't it? Going down the vineyards. Oh, that'll be interesting.
Oh, mate.
But I've also seen this. I've seen some amazing things on a squash court here. One of the greatest things that I've seen on a squash court. I don't know if I can. It's very hard to explain. But you have this serve. It's called a corkscrew.
Right.
And it's when you hit the ball onto the front wall, up high on that front wall,
yeah.
very near the side wall. So if you hit the front wall and then the side wall, it then will go to the opposite back corner. So it's called a corkscrew.
Is that the serve you always do to me and I can never hit it back?
I can't get it to the front wall. Anyway... These two professionals, John White, an Australian, she played for Scotland, and Joe Knight, they played a tournament out here, and a little bit of an exhibition, and they had a rally just doing corkscrews from the back of the court. And when I say rally, I'm not talking two shots, a corkscrew off a corkscrew. And it was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
They strung like 10 corkscrews together, and just one after the other. It was just... I've never seen it before.
Yeah,
certainly couldn't do it. But that was magic. There's also two other guys I'm going to give a plug. Sven Felitz, who does freestyle football.
Oh, amazing, I've watched him. Yeah,
amazing.
I remember watching him. I remember watching him. God, that's got to be like a year and a half ago now.
Yeah,
coming down. Yeah.
Yeah, he does some good things around in Luxembourg with some of the youth. And
we'll put him in the.
You heard of Victor Gomez? He lives in Luxembourg.
Well,
and
the BMX guy.
He's a Red Bull athlete too.
Really? He messaged me actually. He messaged Little Lions and was like, "We should link up." And I'm like,
"Oh,
yes,
most definitely."
When I post this, I'll put this on the. We'll get the Instagram and I'll tag them and we'll try and that'd be really cool.
Have you been down to the skate park in Petrus?
I have, yeah.
On the weekend, it's Brand. He was down there this weekend just kicking about, jumping about, flipping about on his bike.
You weren't a skater back in the day, were you?
I wasn't.
You were.
I had a skateboard, but I was
poser.
No, I was just rubbish.
Yeah.
I was scared. I didn't want to get cut.
Yeah, I was a bit of a blader.
Oh, were you?
I used to love the baggy jeans.
I was thinking short shorts and long socks, but like the basketball
earlier. Like Tony Hawk sort of thing.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah, mate, we should definitely link up with those guys because that's more, there'd be more minority sports, you know, the freestyle football and then obviously the BMXing. One that always sticks in my mind, back in the UK, there's a big football show every Saturday morning called Soccer AM. Very funny. Jimmy Bullard. You know, Helen Chamberlain, there's some good content on there. Everybody watches it. They talk about everything, they say it how it is. They did for a period run one on a Friday night called the All Sports Show. And right. So it's the same crowd, shorter, you know, more condensed version, but it's just looking at all the other different sports and stuff. And I watched this thing. There was a guy, a darts player. Raymond Van
Barney.
Barneveld, yeah.
He's just retired a couple of years,
yeah.
1 year ago.
Yep. So it's a video of him. I can't remember who he's playing, and I have trawled through YouTube trying to find this video. But basically, the bloke he's playing rocks up at the start of the leg and goes boff, boff, boff. 180, 360s in a row. Barney rocks up, bang, 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 hits three in a row. Your man rocks up again. Bang, 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 360s in a row. So he's on for a 9 darter. And then Barney comes up the second time, 60, 60. And then as he goes to let go of the third dart, looks over at the bloke he's playing against, let's go.
Let's go.
60 again. Oh, like just the skill. Like, yes, darts, not the most athletic sport in the world, but to watch something like that, that's cool. That's really cool. It's like the Tiger Woods, the chip at Augusta. That's the best thing I've ever seen. Best thing I've ever seen. Yeah. You know.
That was absolutely.
And it was like set up for the Nike or Nike advertising it because it like rolls down and the ball sits and then it sits there and then the Nike tick rolls over and it goes.
You couldn't write the script.
Nike cashing in big time on that.
Who is the most famous? Who's the most famous sports person you've ever met?
Who's the most famous sports
person? Or was there a sports person? I don't know. Was it a rugby player? I'm just saying a name. Lawrence Dellaglio, for example. Have you shook hands or met or chat with?
Really random. Conrad Smith.
Oh, yeah.
not the most well-known All Black, but
He was phenomenal.
Yeah, unreal player. But funnily enough, I've already talked about it, but in 2005, the Lions, after they played the Lions, remember there was a thing where O'Driscoll got the shoulder done in and stuff like that. Yeah, sure, everyone's got their 50p about that incident. So piling about it, lads. So after that, New Zealand were touring Ireland in obviously at the end of 2005, and they were playing Ireland in Dublin. Now, as part of it, they go and do
was
a load.
Was Brian O'Driscoll playing? Was he still?
He was cropped, mate. He was cropped. Look at you with that smug look on your face. Obviously, they do a load of stuff in the community. Where they go out, you know, to grow the game or whatever. This is a really random story. 2005 was 100 years after the All Blacks. It was like their Invincibles tour, where they went and toured the British Isles. They bossed everybody. They didn't lose a game on tour. This is when they used to go on tour for like 3 months and stuff and play an absolute ton of games. And the guy who captained the All Blacks in 1905 was a guy called Dave Gallagher. Oh, you know it. And he was born in Ireland. And he was born in a house in the little town where my mum is from, in Donegal, in Rumellan. And so my auntie lives there now. And it was a B&B, but I think my cousins live there. I probably should stay in touch with them. But as part of it, the All Blacks, I think it was six of them. Tana Umanga was there as well, so I met him as well. Well, I say met him, I shook hands with him. They basically came down to Letterkenny, opened up the new pitches in Letterkenny for the day, and then got the bus down to the town, and then were invited in, you know, like tea and biscuits and whatever. And I was just stood opposite him, and I would have only been 16, and I was like, you're all right. Just sort of shook his hand. He's like, how you going?
Oh, nice.
That was, to meet someone like you've watched on TV, for me, that was that was amazing. What about yourself?
Who do I have? It would have been 7 years ago. I had 7 years.
Sorry, I'm playing a bit of footsie there. I'm cramping up, mate.
You know, I thought you had flip-flops on this morning, but you have actually had rainbow coloured laces on.
Yeah, LGBT laces, mate.
Oh, good shout. Interesting. The Power Taylor.
You told me about this story, actually. I'll let you, I'll listen, because people want to hear this, mate. Brilliant. This is brilliant.
I got into darts in a quite a big way. Yeah.
To clarify, anybody who knows darts, the power is the man.
16-time world champion.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, sorry. You have your 2 minutes here, pal. You have your two minutes.
So I was building this building. I put a dartboard on the wall in a man cave. I was building a man cave and decided that the space that I had to have a dartboard. And I got into it and I wanted to buy some nice darts. So it was Christmas time, and it was when the world championships were being played. And the Power Taylor had just been actually knocked out in the quarterfinals. And I flew over to Manchester, and I went straight to this little back shed in Bolton to buy some darts. And I was expecting to go into a proper shop, but it wasn't. It was just a garage, and they were mainly doing online. It wasn't the best place in the world, but they were friendly enough. Anyway, I went in there, and I got a tap on the shoulder. And I said, Nathan, you see who's here? And I looked around, and I looked at this bloke. I said, I've seen that bloke before. And I looked back because I was more interested in my darts. And then I thought to myself, that's the Power Taylor. No, it can't be. It can't be. In the back end of Bolton, in a garage.
Yeah.
And my legs went like jelly. I was just in awe. And I said to my friends who I was with, I said, do you realise who this is? This is the Power Taylor. Now, he doesn't look like the greatest athlete. He's not 6 foot 1,000 with the biggest muscles. He's just a short, stocky stocky bloke, and he was dressed in same tracksuit. I think they call it a chav. And he's same tracksuit top, same tracksuit bottoms, with a cap on, a baseball cap on, and it was the power tailor. I went, my legs went like jelly. It was part of it was the surprise, I'm sure. So I didn't want to disturb him. I shook his hand and said, what a pleasure it is to meet you or to come across you. And he was very polite. And he went up and he was having a meeting. I think he was changing, the moment when he was changing sponsor. About 5 minutes later, I just spoke to the lady that owned the shop. And I said, is there any way he can come down? And she said, I'll go up and my brother's having a meeting with him. I'll go up. Sure enough, 2 minutes later, he came back down. And we had a chat for about 10, 15 minutes about random things, where I live, what I did. Lovely guy. Really, really lovely, down to earth guy. But never ever forget it. My legs being like jelly. Bit of a wimp, really, wasn't I?
That's class, mate. I remember you telling me that a while back, and I think, you know, it's always nice to bump into normal people, but you know, they don't forget sort of where they've, you know, where their roots are, sort of thing. You know, and he's probably, he'd probably tell you himself, he's very lucky to have the success that he's had and stuff like that. But you get that, like, I'll give you prop. A lot of the Kiwis are like that as well. Like, you know, pretty grounded, especially the All Blacks. But they have that culture. I'm not going to say the word, but the no D. How many letters are in that? No heads policy, isn't it? In the thing where they're, you know, that you've got to.
Well, good people. What, no matter what your sport, you got in order to be a good athlete, you have to be a good person.
Yeah.
Off the pitch, off the park, court as well. And
it's like that whole holistic thing, isn't it? There's more to it than just the.
I mean, it comes with the changing room one was the big one that they
sweep the sheds.
Clean the sheds after you, throw your rubbish away, look after yourself, look after the people around you. And I think I think coaches and people should be in helping people, helping the athletes become better athletes.
Yeah.
Probably about time to wrap up, Scott. I read a piece in the weekend, which was quite touching to me really, and I've got it here on a piece of paper where I printed it out, and it's for all those people that are involved in sport, and it's it goes along like this. It says, the benefits of being involved in sport are far reaching. For participants, research shows that sport is a great tonic for making us happier, healthier people. Would you agree on that? I mean, no, you can't. At a community level, we know that sport is a great connector. Sport helps us to feel included and supported with a sense of belonging, and it also helps us to feel proud of our communities. For our army of volunteers, administrators, managers, coaches, and all those helpers behind the scenes, these factors are incredibly important. But it's also, Scott, worth pausing to recognise and celebrate this. And it's something that you touched on at the start of this podcast. I think it's really, really important. And that goes for the person who's sitting on the couch just listening to it. It's their sense of involvement in the sport, knowing what's going on in their community, both locally and globally as well in the sports scene. So, yeah, that was a nice piece. And to recognise those people that are involved in sport.
Sometimes nothing else needs to be said, mate. Take it easy. Yep. See you next week, boss.
See you next week. Cheers, bro.